All right, open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading this morning at verse 3. We're going to read down through verse 16, so a few more verses than we normally look at. Last time we were in 1 Timothy, which is, I guess, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first couple of verses. I'm going to read those for a moment just to kind of tie us back to it and for us to understand a little bit about what Paul is addressing here in this portion of the letter. He said there, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity." And basically he was giving some general directions about how we should get along with one another, how we should look at each other, how we should treat one another as members of a family in the church, in the congregation. And so those are very general directions about loving those who are in the church. Well, this morning, in this, as he continues, he gets very specific about in his directions concerning how we should care for those who are widows in the church. And this was a big issue in Paul's day in many churches for different reasons, war and dangerous occupations and so forth. A lot of times men died leaving widows. And so how is the church to deal with this and handle this situation? And as we look at these instructions, though we live in different times, and we'll comment more on this in a moment, but we live in slightly different times, there are some underlying principles here that are very important for us to understand. And that should help us understand more about the way the congregation should be functioning in an overall sense. So we're going to try to dig into this a little bit and see what we might learn. So the title of the message this morning is simply Caring for Widows. And we'll read this text now. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll be reading starting there at verse 3. It says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews," let me pause there for a moment. In the King James English, Old English of that time, the word nephew meant grandchildren, more so even than we would use the word today. So you think you should be thinking here children or grandchildren. "Let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guard the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth hath widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let us pray. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this wonderful, beautiful day you have given us, for this morning, this opportunity that we have been granted to come together to worship you in spirit and in truth as a spiritual family. And Lord, I pray that these things that are done here this day bring you honor and glory and that they please you. Amen. Oh Lord, may your Holy Spirit guide us now to give us understanding of these verses, this passage that we have just read. Speak to our hearts, oh Lord. Help us to grasp the meaning of what has been written here so that we might better serve you as a church and as a family of believers and so that we might take care of one another in a proper way. Lord, we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look here, let me begin with some general comments before we really get into what we read there in the text. And basically, we're going to divide the text into two parts. How do you care for older widows, and how do you care for younger widows? The caring for widows itself is of great importance to God. That's my first point this morning. It is vital for the congregation to care for orphans and widows. God gives special attention to orphans and to widows throughout the Old Testament. Even if you look back at the law, there were some very specific laws given to address how they were to be cared for. And we also find instructions such as the ones we've just read in the New Testament. Our Lord, as we commented a few weeks ago, gave us an example of how to deal with widows as he dealt with his mother's situation. As he's dying and he's going to leave her, he made sure there was one there to care for her. Now, he had brothers and sisters, but at that time, we believe they weren't believers. And so he made certain that a believer took care of his mom. And so he gave us that example. We read in James's letter, chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. By visit there is much more than just go by and see them every now and then. It's meant care for them and take care of them. And so we have all of these instructions throughout the Old and New Testament. Now, does this mean that the church, the congregation, has responsibility for every widow and orphan there is around? Well, maybe in a general sense, where the church certainly can help to choose those who are outside the congregation if opportunities arise and make themselves available. But I think absolutely, as we see here in Paul's instructions to Timothy, the care of widows within the congregation is to be of a very high priority for the church. Now, I mentioned earlier that there's a difference from the times that Paul's writing in and in our times today. And one of those is very significant in that we live today in a much more affluent circumstances with things like retirement plans and retirement homes and other things. In some cases, not all, there's some where it's still true, but a lot of cases, widows aren't as destitute as they were in the time when Paul wrote. In the time that Paul wrote, women didn't work outside the home. They might do things within inside the home where they maybe did laundry or made things or something that they might could sell. But there wasn't very much commerce outside the home for a woman. And so if her husband died, so did usually any kind of income that to support her. And so if she didn't have any family in particular, she was left in a very difficult situation. Now, we have things today to offset that, including, you know, Social Security and things like that. And I'm not saying that those are, the greatest. I know it can be very difficult if that's your only income. It can be very difficult to live on that. But it's much better than the circumstances were in Paul's day when there was nothing. And that's my point. So there's a little difference there. But the reason I bring all this up and talk about it is for this reason. Not to explain away, but to remind the church of our responsibility to take care of those who are widowed. We shouldn't, because there are these government programs and other retirement plans and so forth, we shouldn't just say, oh, okay, they're on their own. The church should take a very strong interest in making sure that widows are taken care of. And we need to be careful that these affluent things do not move us away from what God has to say on this matter. Now, one more thing, too, about this particular thing. I want to say this, just as we're going to read and talk about in the scripture here, it is ultimately the responsibility of the family, if there is any family, to take care of that widow first. Absolutely. And then, if there is no family, then the church is to step in and help. And then one other thing about all this, generally speaking, before we get into the distinctives here, apparently there is another issue behind Paul's instructions here. We can read from what he said in 1 Timothy and what he says in his second letter to Timothy that there were widows in the congregation, particularly younger widows, who seemed to be causing problems and even divisions within the church. And so what Paul has to say here, at least in part, was meant to correct that problem. Now, let's get back to our verses that we've read here. Let's first talk about caring for older widows. He says there in verse 3, honor widows. In other words, care for them. Show respect for them. Okay? And they are to be cared for by the congregation. So honor widows. And then he begins to give some qualifications to let the congregation know exactly who they were to care for. And so he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. In other words, that are truly without family. As he goes on to say in verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, and as we said, that means grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So we are to honor those who are widows indeed, who have no children and no grandchildren. There are no relatives there that can support them. And why should we do this? Because this pleases God. He says it's first, those who are family should take care of this first in order that they might show piety at home. That means that they might show obedience to God in the home first, okay? And that they should requite their parents, meaning they are responsible to take care of the parent who has taken care of them all their lives, okay? That one who has raised you, who has given their life to help you to grow and to be an adult, is deserving of your help when they grow older and are unable to care for themselves. And so that is a basic principle. That's not, you know, that's good. That's being a good citizen. That's being a good person. But more than that, Paul is equating this to being a good follower of Christ, and that this is a way for us to show that we are indeed obedient followers of Christ. And so this should begin at home, and this is good, and it is acceptable before God. This pleases God when we do this. So that first qualification is that they should indeed be widows. Secondly, that she should be one who trusts in God, who is putting her hope in him. Now, verse 5, now it says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God. This should be someone who is a believer, someone who is putting her faith, her hope in God. Okay? That God will take care of her, but more than that, that she is living a life of faith. And so that's a qualification here. If she is not a believer, if she's going out into sin, that lessens somewhat the obligation of the church to care for her, I believe. Not that you just let her go again, but that becomes more of a general obligation of the church, not a specific one. So we're talking about someone who is a believer. That's a qualification. Someone who continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Someone who is a prayer warrior. And I want us to look at this, some of these things from this standpoint. I think we give too many outs today, in the sense of we're way too accepting of people not serving God and not serving in the congregation as they should be. I'm not saying that so much about our church, because we have a lot of people doing a lot of things in this church. Sunday school, we've got vacation Bible school and church camp coming up as we near summer here. There's a lot of things going on where people can serve in the church. Providing meals when someone has passed away, for instance. That's another thing. There's a lot of things that people do in our church. And so I'm not talking about us so much, but I'm talking about this whole idea of a church being more of a social gathering, just a kind of a country club that you join kind of for a few of the benefits, but there's no emphasis on people really serving in their church. And that's a sad thing, a sad commentary on a lot of churches, I believe, today. Now, they may have a ton of activities that are going on, but that's all fun stuff. It's not so much things that are built around or centered on serving God and making sure people are taken care of and making sure that the gospel is being taught and that it's being shared with others. And so there's an emphasis here that I think Paul is putting on these widows doing that. And I want to tell you from past experience, I've had some prayer warriors, widows, in fact, who, if I had something going on that I needed some prayers about, they were the first ones I talked to. Because I knew that they were devoted in their prayers, that they prayed sincerely before God and spent much time in God before God in prayer. And that generates or develops within a person a great faith. Those are the people you want praying for you. And so that's a very important responsibility and role in the church. And I think Paul is emphasizing that widows in particular can be very suited to that kind of thing, and that they should be. So that she must trust in God. She must be devoted to prayer. Then as we move on to verses 6, 7, and 8, we see a warning against some sinful lifestyles that might develop, or sinful choices that can arise. Verse 6, he says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." In other words, if she is not devoted to God, if she is not spending time in prayer, then what she will fall into is the same thing everyone will fall into, and that is an indulgent kind of lifestyle, selfish kind of lifestyle. And he's warning against that shouldn't be. If she's not serving God, then that's what you're going to fall into. And by the way, that's a good general instruction for all of us. We need to be devoted to God. If we're not devoted to God, we're going to get devoted to something that's not of God. Okay? And that's going to lead to sin and trouble. And so he's warning against that. And he says in verse 7, And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. He's wanting them to make sure they have good reputations, that they have a good testimony of service to God that others can see and speak of. And so he's warning Timothy, he's saying to Timothy, give them a charge that they be blameless, that they be devoted to God. And then one more thing he throws in verse 8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He's saying that if there are those out there, family, who have a parent, a mother who's become a widow, okay, and they're not taking care of them, then they have denied the faith. In other words, denied the trust that God has called for, where they are to indeed provide for that widow. And they're denying that. And Paul says that makes them worse than an infidel, worse than one who is not a believer at all. So family members who do not care for their own are denying the faith. Then in verse 9, verses 9 and 10, he wraps up what he has to say about the older widows by saying this, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. What does he mean here by being taken into the number? Some would argue that that means being allowed to become a member of the church, because that phrase there, taken into the number, means literally to be put on the list. And so some would argue that it means accepting them as members into the church. But I don't think that's what this is talking about. I think more this has to do with them being put on the list of those to be cared for by the church. And that also that list involves them doing things in service to the church. Going back to something he's already talked about here, about how they should be prayer warriors, for instance. There are certain things that widows can do to serve God, and that they should be, they can be very good at that and be devoted to that, and that they, that you can put them on this list. But he says, he gives some qualifications here also about this. They shouldn't be under 80 years old. 80 is, in King James English, means 60. So you shouldn't take them and put them on this list if they are under 60 years old. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean a hard cutoff there of 60? No. I think what he's saying is that there comes a time when widows aren't going to, likely not going to, remarry. Okay? If they're younger than that, they were apt to remarry. All right? So what he's drawing a distinction there. They're not as likely to marry, so they can be put on this list, and so they can devote themselves to God. It's almost like they're taking an oath that they're, or a vow that they're going to serve God, as opposed to a vow that they might take when they got married, if they remarried, a marriage vow. And Paul, I think, is drawing a distinction here, and he's stating they need to be old enough that they're not going to remarry. And if they really do need to, have need to be taken care of. And we're going to talk more about the remarrying and stuff in a moment as we look at the younger widows. But so she should be of a certain age. And he goes on to give some other qualifications, having been the wife of one man. Now, this harkens back to something he had said earlier in this letter in regards to elders and deacons about how they should be the husbands of one wife. Paul puts an emphasis on that here, too. This should be a woman who is a widow now, who has been the husband or the wife of one husband, that she has been faithful in that regard. This is something I don't think is enough emphasis is put on in our day and time. We're way too accepting of divorce. Now, I understand there are times when divorce is necessary. That's not what this is about. But there are a lot of, I see a lot of marrying and remarrying and remarrying and remarrying out there. And I don't think that is indicative of a person who is a child of God and the kind of lifestyle that one should be living as a child of God. And so he's saying she should be the wife of one man, that she should be well reported of for good works. She should have a good testimony, a good reputation. If she had brought up children, that could mean her own children, okay? But if she is a widow indeed, those children aren't around anymore. It might also mean someone else's children that she's helped to raise. But she's shown attention to that. If she have lodged strangers, if she's been hospitable in that regard, in that she has taken strangers into her home to give them a place to stay. If she have washed the saints' feet, not meaning in an ordinance sense, we don't believe in foot washing as an ordinance, but again, as an act of hospitality, if she is one who was a good hostess, who made sure, and you know, in those days they wore sandals, they walked on dusty roads. When they came to the home, then it was a custom to wash a person's feet before they came into your home. If you're wealthy enough, you would have a servant that would do that. If not, then you did that yourself. And so she's someone who has a heart for that, who does not think themselves above others. Okay? There's that concept here. If she have relieved the afflicted, okay, if she herself has helped someone who was in need of help, if she have diligently followed every good work, she's been a faithful, obedient servant, then she ought to certainly be put on this list, I think is what Paul is saying, and she needs to be cared for. Then he moves on to caring for the younger widows, verse 11. He says, but the younger widows refuse. Don't put them on this list. So again, I don't think he's talking about membership in the church, okay? I think he's talking about this particular list of those who are to be cared for by the church and who in turn are giving themselves, devoting themselves to serving the congregation. He says, but the younger widows refuse. Don't put them on there. Well, that seems kind of harsh. Why would he say this? He gives an answer. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. He's saying refuse the younger women from being put on this list of care and service to the church because they can possibly, first of all, they can possibly work and take care of themselves. And if the church is taking care of them and they're not having to work to care for themselves, then they're going to have idle time. Okay? And this is just a natural fact of life. When a human being has too much idle time on their hands, they will always fall back into sin. That's just a fact of life. That's why it's good to be a hard-working person. Someone who has a job, someone who has responsibilities, and it's a good thing. It's good for everybody. Okay? We need to teach our children the value of that. Okay? Because if they have too much idle time, he's saying if you take care of these younger widows, they're going to end up with too much time on their hands, and that's going to lead to problems. And the first problem he specifically mentions is they're going to wax wanton against Christ. In other words, they're going to fall into sin. They're going to begin making sinful choices and decisions. And that will in turn lead to them wanting to remarry and not choosing wisely a good Christian believer to marry. He's not saying that they can't remarry. They're widows. They can remarry, according to the Word of God. They can remarry. He's just saying they're more apt to fall into a bad marriage, okay, if they're left idle. So don't take care of them. They shouldn't be put on this list for this reason. By the way, when it says in verse 12, having damnation, Well, we see that word and we think, oh, we associate that with hell and final judgment and everything. The word itself simply means condemnation, okay? They will be condemned, okay? They can be charged with wrongdoing, okay? Because they have cast off their first faith. Not meaning that they have lost their salvation, but if they were in a situation, this is what Paul is arguing against and telling them to guard against, if they're in a situation where the church is taking care of them and they are put on that list, then they are in essence making a vow to the church that they're going to serve the church. If they remarry, then they are casting aside that vow in place of another, a vow to be the wife of a husband. And so he's saying they're casting off their first oath of trust with the congregation. And he's saying that's not a good thing. Folks, if you make a commitment to the church, to the congregation, to serve the church in some capacity, then you need to be faithful to that commitment. That needs to be high, high, high on your priority list of things you need to do. Okay? And you shouldn't take for granted or take lightly any kind of commitment made to the church. And that's all he's saying here is these younger women are apt to violate that and replace that with an oath of marriage. Again, he's not saying they can't remarry. He's going to talk about that in a moment. But if they've been put on this list, that puts them in a position where they could sin. Okay? And he's saying, let's not do that. Let's understand they are younger. They are going to want to remarry. So let's let them work. Let's let them try to take care of themselves if they can. And he later encourages them to marry. But let's go that route while they're younger, while they still can do this. Verse 13. And with all they learn to be idle. See, if they're idle, here's what's going to happen. They're going to be wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. There's another word we associate with that. They're going to be gossips. Okay, they're going to be gossiping. It's a sin to gossip. It's a sin we're probably all very guilty of. Okay, but it is a sin to gossip. And he's saying if they're idle, that's just going to give them all this free time to do that very thing, and that's not good. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons he's talking about this altogether. These are the very ones who've been causing problems and divisions in the church because they've been going about doing this very thing. He says in verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry. See, here's where he's saying they should marry. That's the Bible says that there are certain few that may not marry. You don't absolutely have to get married. But the Bible indicates to us that if done correctly under the directions of God's word, to be married is a good thing. Okay? So he says, I will that the younger women marry, that they bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Take on these things in a good way, in a God-honoring way. And take on these responsibilities, and they'll have a lot less opportunity to be idle busybodies, okay? And to fall into sinful practices. So let them marry. And then that will take care of the whole support issue. They will have a husband that will take care of them then. And in this way, they wouldn't give occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. They're going to be building a good reputation. Verse 15, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Some there at Ephesus had already turned aside to evil, and they had become problems to the church. Now, we'll close this up with that last verse. And I'm going to back up for a moment to a little more general look at this, not quite specifically about widows, but a more general instruction for all the church. And that is this. The congregation has a duty to care for those who are widows especially if they're without family. Verse 16, he gives a final charge to families to care for their own. He says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, in other words, there are widows in the family, let them relieve them. Let them take care of them. And let not the church be charged. Don't put that burden on the church. Why? That it, the church, may relieve them that are widows indeed. Because the church needs to be focused on those who are truly are widows and have no one to care for them. He's saying, if you have someone in your family that needs to be cared for, you need to take care of them, not the church. Now, if it's an extraordinarily difficult situation, dire kind of situation beyond a family's ability to take care of, then yes, sir, I think there can be an appeal to the church for help, and I think the church would understand and would lovingly do so. But by and large, the responsibility for your family starts in the home and in the family itself. And it needs to be cared for there. I want to read Galatians chapter 6 now in closing. Starting at verse 7, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We know those verses quite well. The very next verse says, though, as we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Our number one obligation is to one another. I mean, apart from, obviously, to God. But we are obligated to one another, first and foremost, before we are obligated to anyone outside the congregation. Okay? And we need to remember that. Sometimes people feel bad if we're not helping everybody out there. We can't help everybody out there. We can absolutely take care of our own. And then help some outside there as God gives us opportunity and resources. And we need to be good stewards of those things. But our first obligation is to take care of one another. And we must do that. I think a great mistake was made many decades ago when people began to push onto the government care for people that should start in the family first and the church second. And we have abdicated, I mean, we as a congregation, as churches, have abdicated some responsibility in those things. And I'm going to tell you something. Government cannot take care of people as well as a family can take care of them and as well as a church family can take care of them. That's just a fact of life. A lot of people would disagree with that in our country today. And we're seeing evidence of that in some of these debates and some of these things that are going on in these elections. But I'm going to tell you something. As God's people, it doesn't... We'll forget all them for a minute. As God's people, we need to take very seriously our responsibility to our own blood families and to our own spiritual family. And we need to make certain we're doing what we're supposed to be doing about those things. Well, that's hard. It can be difficult. And we may mess up and make mistakes and not be as good as we ought to be. But praise God, by His grace, we ought to be working on that. And we ought to be doing everything we can to show love to one another. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are humble. Lord, that You are so specific in Your directions, Your commandments to us concerning how we should live our lives. Lord, sometimes we flounder around because we don't know what we're supposed to do. And when it's all right there in Your Scripture, if we'll dig in there and look and learn. But Lord, help us to take what we have learned and to put that into practice. So that we might indeed show ourselves to be followers of the living God, so that we can show ourselves to be believers with good reputations. Help us to take all of these things very seriously. And may we ever take care of the obligations that we have to each other as you have directed us. Lord, I thank you that most of all we have you to turn to, and that you are always faithful and true to your people, and you always take care of us. Lord, just help us to be better. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll stand.